It's racing through a different set of goggles. With his unique look at the great game, it's time for Beer and Skittles with Mitchell Beer.
Hello to you, Mitchell Beer.
Good morning, Gareth Hall. How are you going?
Now, Dan Malecki, I was just trying to set up my what there, and he basically gave it away just before that race at Hillsville. I thought he was just going to help me build the suspense, but he basically told the story. Now, my what there today, there was a race just at the Addington Greyhounds in New Zealand. And they're about to start the race. Oh, they might have finished it. Just let me check the details here. The eight dog. So the eight dog finishes the race and then he escapes. So he jumps over the fence. And for the next 35 minutes, they couldn't catch the eight dog. So the races had to be delayed a couple of races because the eight dog went missing. Now, you would think that in an environment like that at the Greyhound, at a Greyhound meeting at Addington, that you would have enough people that could probably work out how to catch a dog. But the eight dog took them on a wild chase for at least 30 minutes, and they just completed their previous race. But, yeah, I found that. I've never seen anything or heard anything like that. So well done to that eight dog.
There's nothing more frustrating than when you get so close to like catching a horse in the paddock and you're there for 40 minutes and it just does laps and laps and laps. And you're trying to explain to people that you're a trained professional and you're going to take it and charge them $85 a day to look after it. And, you spend an hour with three people running around in a paddock trying to catch it. What do they say? Never work with kids or animals. So we've done well, but can certainly feel for that poor trainer.
I won't mention the trainer's name or the horse's name, but there was a horse recently that has played up on a few occasions, and it was that grumpy one morning. They couldn't actually work it before the races, and then it went out and won. But have you ever had that, where you've had a horse that just didn't want to play ball at home?
I had a person ring me in. They said, we'd like you to train this horse, but we're going to be straight up with you. It's got some barrier issues and has a bit of drama getting on the trucks and this. I said, don't worry, I'll come out there, I'll get it on the truck, I'll sort it out. Walked in there, caught it, couple of Crocodile Dundee type horseman moves straight onto the truck. The owner goes, I can't believe it. I haven't seen him go on a truck like that, it's normally a nightmare. I said, mate, don't worry, got it home. Couldn't get it off the truck. I spent 4 hours trying to get it off the truck. So it was like getting dark. I didn't know what to do. This thing wouldn't budge. So I had to drive it down the road into a paddock and just put some food at the bottom of it and drove the truck into a horse paddock. And I'm like, oh, he'll get hungry and come out eventually. And get back to work in the morning. And there he was next to the truck eating his breakfast. I just put a head collar down and walked him back into the stables. So they have a good crack at making an idiot of you, that's for sure.
Did he win
a race? Well, he's currently in work at the moment, so I want to keep him in work as long as I can because I'm not looking forward to taking him back to the paddock.
Well, he might just have to race at Albury, so you don't have to put him on the truck.
See, this is what the punters don't realise. It's not only race day they make fools of us trainers. There's a long history of it before we even get there.
So what about the beer of the year? You're 3-2-1 this week.
Beer of the year. First of all, give me a point to Country Cup season. It's in full flight.
Yes.
It is just the best time of the year. We've had the spring to warm us up. And now the real fun begins. And at all different levels as well. I mean, the Ballarat Cup on Saturday was terrific. But, Tatura, we've got Kilmore Cotton, all these sort of places. Right. It's terrific because there's Country Cups for horses at all different levels. And they're won by all different trainers. And I think it's terrific. Love it. And it's a great time to be getting to your local races. And getting behind their cups because they've done it tough, and it's great to see people being able to do it.
We're heading to Wodonga.
Right, that's a big segment on the rest of this show because it's going to be epic.
Correct.
The forecast is extremely concerning, but we're not going to let that deter us.
It's even sometimes the party's even better when the races aren't on.
I was just about to say, my worst nightmare is we get a text about 4:30 or 5 o'clock Thursday afternoon to say they're off. Aubrey will be rocking.
Yes.
No. Aubrey will be
we
rocking.
Hope they won't
Wodonga
be off.
Will be rocking.
The weather report is never right anyway, so they'll be racing it with Donga. Anyway, sorry I interrupted throughout your voting process today. So two votes?
Two votes going to the Ballarat Turf Club and Racing Victoria. What? That day has become over the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years is just incredible. It's a ripping day's racing. And I think just about, you know, the training facilities, the whole vibe at Ballarat has just become an absolute epicenter of racing and training. And, you know, you're seeing some of those aerial shots of the uphill track, and it is a world-class training facility. And they've done it all in a very short amount of time, and I think that race day on Saturday just complements how good and how big of a place Ballarat has become.
Yep, and the one vote or the
three votes? Three. I'm going one way, Hooley, you're going the other.
Three votes.
Sheridan Clark rode her first winner at Terang on Friday, and yes, it's always special to see these young kids ride their first winners, but I remember that young girl when I was at Mornington and she was writing work and was, you know, probably a long way off ever becoming an apprentice. And a lot of those kids, that gap is a gap too far. And as she explained in her post-race interview, she was knocked back from the apprentice school twice, never took no for an answer. And, you know, these sort of people that are coming through the ranks in our industry, it's just phenomenal to see. It's so easy for them to walk away. I think when you start in racing, whether you're mucking out boxes, working weekends, that gap between entry level and becoming a jockey or a trainer or whatever you want to be as a profession can be so far. So to see the grit and determination from her to not take no for an answer and push through and ride her first winner was absolutely phenomenal. Made my day.
Yeah, well done. And if you wanted enough, you'd be able to achieve it or get it anyway. So that's a terrific story there, Mitchie.
It is, and it's not, you know, it's not all about whether she ends up riding a Group 1 winner or not. She wanted to be an apprentice. She wanted to be ride a winner, and she's done it. And, bloody awesome.
Our unsung hero today is the man behind the success these days of Swettenham Stud, Sammy Matthews, of course, the boy from the West. He joins us now. Good morning to you, Sam. Welcome to Beer and Skittles.
Morning, gentlemen. How are we?
We're very well. How are we sweating them, Stan?
Absolutely fantastic. It's been a great season. The farm looks great. The boys are fertile. We're getting a few winners, so definitely no complaints from us.
Now, we must clarify to our listeners, we are talking about the stallion roster there at Swettenham Stud and no one else affiliated with the place. But
they're not.
Yeah, but... Sammy, it's been a busy time of year for you guys, obviously, in the breeding barn, and things start to slow up a bit now, but I guess the yearlings are starting to come in for sort of Magic Millions and those first sort of sales next year.
Yeah, definitely. So it's still pretty busy for us, which is a little bit unusual. It starts to taper off this time of year because people start to sort of say, oh, it's getting a bit late, but we've been looking at all these stats about the late foals and November foals and how well they go. So the covering shed's been as busy this week and last week as what it was at the start of September. So the boys are still doing 3 or 4 a day. And because we're not doing any yearling preps anymore, we outsource it all. We just keep covering all the way through. So I think last year we had 2 covers on Christmas Day, and I didn't, just the stallions. But, it's still busy all the way through, but outsourcing the yearlings to a few farms has made our lives a lot easier.
Just explain that to our listeners, Mitch. So there's been stats that have been recently published saying that some of the best horses have been foaled later in the year. Do you take that into consideration?
Yeah, I think everyone from trainers and buyers, when they're going to a yearling sale, they're there to... they're trying to find the nicest horse, of course, but you're always trying to find that little edge of why you might get it a little bit cheaper or why it can be affordable. Obviously, if something has every box ticked, it's not going to go under the radar. And there's always been a little bit of a myth that those later foals are a bit backwards. They take a bit longer to get to the races, or a mare that has had sort of 10 or 12 foals. But as Sam touched on, it's the results over the last probably 2 years have really proved that those later covers are still getting results, and they're still getting up early and running. I guess, you know, we've seen the climate change a little bit in Australia. We're having better weather. They're getting raised on a lot better country than what they were when we're deep into the drought, which has probably had a good effect as well.
Sam, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think if you look at a yearling sale, there's the 2 month difference or 3 month difference between an August foal and an October or November foal. I think sometimes people don't make the allowances for that and say, in 3 months' time, will this November foal be the same size as this August foal? And I think sometimes that doesn't get taken into account quite as much. So we're more than happy to buy those October and November foals, and you make those allowances. You know, everyone who's got kids out there, you look at a kid and if between a year and a half and a year and 9 months, there's a big difference in their growth. So I think sometimes that doesn't get taken into account quite as much. So we buy them a little bit cheaper. But yeah, they get up and go. They're in the right time of spring. The natural breeding season of a horse in the wild would be around October time. So I think, looking at the stats, it's fascinating, and a lot of people have started to realise that.
And I think it's such a fine art. And buying yearlings is a fine art, and there's a lot of trainers that probably aren't as good at buying yearlings as what they are training, and there's a lot of people that just buy yearlings for a living. But as you and I know, Sam, as well, it's very easy to go to a yearling sale and find the best 10 yearlings in that sale. But that doesn't mean they're going to be the nicest 10 when they're two and when they're three. It's having that fine art and seeing what you think they're going to develop into over the coming 2 years.
Exactly. And knowing what to forgive and what you're happy to accept as being, if something's a little bit offset or something's a little bit small, or if something, you know, if you're happy to forgive a few things because you know that that's not going to affect them long term, I'll never profess to be a judge and I'll never be a bloodstock agent. But the people that do this as a living, you've just got to make sure that you've got the right people in there that are forgiving the right thing.
So you enjoying your role at Swettenham, Sam?
Absolutely love it. Yep. I'm very, very lucky that I'm not a horseman and I don't profess to be. I wear a white button-up shirt every day just so I never have to try and catch a horse in the paddock or put one of those, what do you call them, head collars, one of those things on. I stick to my lane, and we're having a lot of success and we're having a lot of fun, and we've got some great people outside of just Adam Sangster. We've got some great people at the farm and some great supporters around us, and it's an incredible environment and an incredible place to work.
And I think, Sam, what would be making you enjoy your job even more is looking down that stallion barn and you know, from the proven ones to the young ones coming through. You know, Toronado flying the flag in Victoria at the moment is a very, very exciting stallion. I'm a massive fan of him, and he's just gone from strength to strength. And then you throw in the likes of, you know, Highland Reel that's coming through and I'm Immortal. Like, must be a very exciting time, not only, you know, from a Swettenham stud point of view to put your corporate hat on there, but being a part of the Victorian breeding industry, it's a very exciting time to have these stallions coming through.
Absolutely, and it's exciting for us as much as it is just looking at the stallions, but also those people that have supported the likes of Toronado and Highland Reel and got a return, whether it be in the sales ring or on the racetrack. But we love seeing everyone else's success as much as probably more than our own success. So it's seeing everyone who's supported us get that result, and then knowing that, you know, you've got the likes of the I'm Immortals, it's just finishing his second season now, and Highland Reel is just having his first runners now. We've got something for everyone, and obviously Toronado is the one that everyone talks about, and he's absolutely flying at the moment. But just knowing that we've got the backup coming through, and we've got, you know, we've got the middle distance horses, we've got the sprinters, we've got the proven horses, we've got the ones coming through. I think it's just a nice cross section, and I know you sort of hear these sorts of things, but we do have something for everyone. Someone wants just to breed to race and they want to go to Trust and August and have a bit of fun, they can do that. And if someone wants to spend the 50 grand and have a crack with Toronado, they can do that as well. So it's nice being able to offer not just the real premium product, but something to everyone.
And I love Poussins de Lune, Mitchy. I think he's your type of stallion, Poussins de Lune. And what about, Sam, I'm always fascinated. So the the bidding wars when it comes to trying to buy future stallions. So how does that process work? Do you watch a colt do what he does, say, in a big race, and is it the first, like, do you ring the owner straight away? How do you identify future stallions?
Yeah, it's a bit of a changing landscape at the moment because the likes of sort of Newgate getting there very, very early. They'll buy them off the back of a trial win and buy a small piece and start to control them. So you've got to get in there as early as you possibly can. We've got our own colts fund where we go out and try and buy colts and make them into stallions ourselves. But I'm Immortal is probably a good example. I spoke to Dave as a party after he won the Blue Diamond Prelude and said, don't forget about us. And then the preview or vice versa. I think you just got to make sure that you're talking to the people and they know that you're there. And then really what it comes down to is getting something in writing. We've probably made 15 offers on stallions in the past 2 years and at varying levels, and I think of which 8 of them have already gone to stud. So we try to buy them at the right time and the right price. We're not a farm that's going to go and pay $40 million for a slipper winner at this stage. You know, we'll leave that up to some other farms to go and do, but we want to buy value. We want to buy horses that we think are going to produce really good horses and what the market's going to want, and hopefully with a bit of racing upside as well.
This is Beer and Skittles. Gareth Hormich, beer with you, of course, and our special guest for our unsung hero is Wetnam Studs, Sam Matthews. Sam, so if Mitch Spear had a colt that just flew at a trial, would you think that he would give you first right of call?
I would hope so, given what we've sort of done for Mitch over the years. The ongoing support, the naked photos probably help.
Be careful under these current climate.
I would think, we try to look after everyone as much as we can, and we're in a fortunate position that we can, you know, try to help these trainers get these yearlings sold, whether they be ours or somebody else's. We try to do everything we can and, you know, play the long game. So, I would think so. Mitch just needs to get a good one with a pedigree, and off we go.
Yes.
Sending a couple here might be a good start.
How many,
Sammy? I've got a question. I was thinking about this the other night. I was watching the races from Hong Kong, and I think Toronado, the Peter Galagotis had it here.
Captain Spud.
Horse. Captain Spud won really impressively in Hong Kong, and you know, it's also got another, what, 3-4 horses over there that are flying at the moment. Like, his stats in Hong Kong are unreal. Is it a double-edged sword? Like, is it, it's great in some aspect, but, you know, is it a double-edged sword to have them, you know, gone to Hong Kong as opposed to probably being, you know, dead set stakes horses here in Australia?
Yeah, particularly the early ones, like Prince of Sussex, for example, after he won the showdown. It's sort of hard when you've got a gelding there to suggest to the owners that he's best not to be sold, because, you know, when you're getting offered that sort of money, and it was a large figure, that's life-changing for most people, and it'd be lovely to have him here, but ultimately the secondary market is so strong. I think there's 30 Toronado colts and geldings up in Hong Kong now. He's flavour of the month. Him and Deep Field are the two that they want, so it's a double-edged sword, but ultimately, you know, if we had a nice one and we were offered that sort of money, we'd probably be inclined to sell as well. Just because, you know, it's very hard to win that sort of money. You've got to win $2.5 million on the track to be able to get that back. And ultimately, you've got to take the money when it comes sometimes. And it's nice to see him go well up there, but there is a secondary market. So when people are buying these colts, and we've got a couple ourselves that we're trying to trade, that you do have enough interest up there that people want them.
Sam, it's always a pleasure. Look forward to hopefully catching up and heading out to do beer and Skittles one day at Swettenham Stud. We can play a little bit of golf and have a look at those stallions and see if we can find Mitch a horse.
Absolutely. You stood me up for brunch last time with Adam McGrath, so I think it's your turn this time.
That's a very good point. I apologise for that. Good on you, mate. Thanks for that, Sam.
You just bring that Swettenham credit card down to the Emerald.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yes, we'll see you actually. You probably should turn up to Albury on Thursday night for our Wodonga Calcutta with the beer and Skittles on the road. So we'll see you there, Sam. It's not that far away from the Gambie.
Nah, we'll get the chopper. We'll be right.
All right, there we go. Good on you, Sam. Sam Matthews there. Hey, Mitch, I'm looking forward to Thursday. So Thursday night we'll be at the SSNA Club for beer and Skittles, the Calcutta. So
standing
looking forward
room
to that.
Only.
Yeah. So what time does it start?
I think it kicks off about 7:30, but we'll there'll be an opportunity for a meet and greet photo and signatures from Seven.
Do you, how many horses have you got engaged at Wodonga on Friday?
I reckon we'll have 6 runners.
Yes.
One of them is totally fine if this rain comes. But we'll be touching on that Thursday night. We'll live mail from the locker room in SSNA where all the big guns will be there. So it's going to be a ripping day. And hopefully with this rain misses, the club's, you know, put a lot of effort into it, and there's plenty of tickets sold. So be a cracking day nonetheless.
Have you got a burner account on Twitter?
No.
There's 2 Mitch Beers, one with 5,000, one with 15,000 followers.
No, one of them is Mitch Beer Racing, which we thought would be good to actually have like a professional,
yes.
You know, one that's not affiliated with me. And Steph Grantel, who does all my bloodstock work, she runs that one.
Okay.
And then I just do my own thing, yep, on the side.
So your last tweet, and I found this interesting. I just set up an Instagram account to see if a girl was single. She's not, and now I'm a 33-year-old with 0 followers and a no profile pitch. This is a new low. So how did you go? Yeah. Is that 33-year-old girl heading to Albury as your date on Friday night?
Nah, I sort of friend of a friend thing, and, you know, that's how you have to operate in this day and age. So I tried to get some of my staff to look her up on Instagram. They couldn't find her, so I decided to do a bit of my own due diligence. I set one up, found her, got a boyfriend. So now I'm just that. I'm that guy, you know, the guy with no profile picture, no followers, full creep. I'm done. Done.
Well, do you love her?
Well,
this is your chance.
Sure. I'd like to find out.
Yeah, all right then. We'll see how we go. Hey, Mitch, always a pleasure.
Yeah, catch this up. Is my chance to not be a creep by dropping her name on around Australia. Yeah, yeah, thanks. Appreciate it, Holly.
We'll catch up with you on Friday anyway. Thursday night, I should say. Looking forward to this Calcutta at the SSNA Club at Albury. Should be a bit of fun.
Good on you, mate.
We'll find you and Matthew Stewart love on that Thursday night in Albury.
I don't reckon you'll ever go home.
Yeah. All right. Can't wait. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Matty Nevitz with his sports report and also the Form Express. And a big off the leash also coming.